Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
How many of you have ever made the promise, I am never doing that again, only to do it again? Come on, how many of you in here are lying? Today we're ending our series called Stupid. And now here's the deal, it's not a personal indictment on you or me, it's just reality that when we do something and we get hurt, and we do something and there's emotional scarring, or there is something that damages us, and then yet we say, I'll never do it again, and we do it again, that's stupid. And here's the theme that we've walked through over the last few weeks is this, is life is better when you don't hurt yourself. Now, we can learn the hard way, and we can take some detours, and we can take a side street, and we can do some really dumb things, and hopefully, if we do those dumb things, we learn from those mistakes, but isn't it better if we can learn from other people's mistakes? And in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Now, we're not born with the desire to say, discipline me. Our children have never come up to you. Matt, Jenny, Laura, your children have never come up to you and said, would you please discipline me today, Mom? They're like, you go to discipline them. And they're like, no. We are just geared to fight against discipline. It is a learned trait. It's a learned skill for sure. But those who learn to embrace discipline learn to love knowledge. And those who learn to love knowledge are disciplined. That it's guardrails that God is putting in our lives to keep us moving forward in the right direction. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. Don't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want to do. It's my business. Get out of my business. Have you ever said that either verbally or in your head? Or what about, hey, just get out of my way when I'm on a roll. You take me how I am or you just leave me alone. Get out of the way. Keep on moving. Take me or leave me. People live that way and it's just stupid. So a quick recap over the last couple of weeks is week one is we just blame others. Or we blame circumstances, or we blame something. And for us, we can do this over and over and over again. And here's what we learned, that blame affixes the problem, but it doesn't fix the problem. That we cast blame instead of dealing with it, and instead of fixing it, it's blaming, affixing it on something else, and it doesn't help anything. And we learned in the Bible is that Adam and Eve were in communion with God in the Garden of Eden. They were walking with God, and then they blew it, they made a mistake, and all they had to do was say, God, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And instead, they hid from God, and they tried to cover their nakedness, cover their sin with fig leaves, and we're still trying to cover it up thousands of years later, and we blame others. Week number two, we determine this, is that pride prevents progress. Pride prevents progress. That during that message last week, I got an email from a first-time guest that said, hey, you were right on. I really needed that last week. But I know during the message that sometimes we're thinking, man, my husband needed that message today. Man, my wife, woo, good. Praise God my wife heard that message last week. No. We've got pride. And we've got to deal with pride, and it prevents our progress. Even God is saying this, hey, God is saying, man, I oppose the proud, but I give grace to the humble. He's saying, capture this. Whoa, slow down, guys. You've got a little pride. Let's deal with it. And for us to continue in pride would be silly because it prevents God's best from occurring in our life. Today, we're going to finish up this series, And in this moment, here's the telltale question, the telltale statement every person in this room has to deal with. This is the make or break statement that if you're breathing, if you're alive, if you are alive today, whether you are investigating Christ and checking it out, see if you even believe in this, or whether you've been serving the Lord for years and years and years, here's the make or break statement that we all have to deal with. It's going to come up on your screen. Here it is right here. I had these friends. Can you say that with me? One, two, three. I had these friends. That's something we all have to deal with. Growing up, I had these friends. And you know what? These friends that they introduced me at a young age to alcohol, though I didn't really drink. They in the eighth grade, their mom would go and get them alcohol. What do you want? And then they'd bring it to the house. And I had these friends, right? And then in high school, varsity basketball team, we're on our way to a basketball game, and we're on the bus, and my friend Daryl, I had these friends, right? My friend Daryl has this Sonic cup full of Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, something, and I see him take a sip of it, I thought, and I said, hey, Daryl, can I have some? He's like, sure. He hands it over, and I go to take a drink, and only to realize it's his spit cup for his Skull Wintergreen dip. Never again. I had these friends. But I also had these friends that we would hang out together and we would play beach volleyball together and we would go and to youth group together and we would pray together and we'd read our Bibles together and we'd follow Jesus together. I had these friends. And then I had a friend that was a little older than me. And that he took me under his wing as a young man, and he taught me how to read my Bible, and he taught me how to pray, and he taught me how to serve Jesus with my whole heart, and he encouraged me to follow the Lord and to stay pure and to keep my heart focused on him. I had these friends. And the truth of the matter is that you could sit across the table from a successful CEO in his suit and tie, or you could sit across the picnic table in a courtyard of a prison with a guy in an orange jumpsuit, and the statement would be the same. I had these friends. We all have this, and we have or we are making friends that will help determine our life. And so today, for the sake of your kids and your grandkids, listen to this message about friendship. Today, for the sake of those around you on the job and at church and in your neighborhood, listen to this sermon on the value of relationships, the value of friendships, the commodity, like precious gold and silver, the valuable commodity of relationships. And so today, let's jump in. If you have your program today and you want to take some notes, follow along. It'll be on your screen today. But let me give you the 411 on relationships. Let me give you the information on relationships. And so if you're taking notes, number one is this. An individualistic society puts friendship on the back burner. Now, are we in an individualistic society? Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to look far from that everywhere you go, it's all about me, it's about what I want, it's about my desires, it's about my personality, it's about my preferences, it's about me, I want to talk about me. You look at the magazine racks and you never see it say, hey, here's how you become a better friend. Here's how you become a better buddy. Here's how you can be a more unselfish friend. No, it's like, how do I make myself better? How do I get rich? How do I get the perfect eyebrows? It's about me, 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 me. I want to talk about you sometimes, but really I want to talk about me. Can we talk about me today? That's how we are. And friendship is put on the back burner because friendship is something that just happens. It's something it doesn't just happen. It's cultivated. It's something that is discovered. You see, in the Bible, it talks about multiple types of love. It talks about an eros, which is an erotic or really a romantic love. And so we need romantic love or we wouldn't end up getting married and having children and continuing on. It talks about a family love, and we need the family love to nurture us and to develop us and to teach us and to care for us. It talks about a phileo, or a brotherly, a neighborly, a community love. And we need that phileo love. We need that because it prevents there from being chaos in our culture, that we care for our neighbor because there's far more of us than there are police, and that we need this brotherly and neighborly and community love, or crime would take over. And yet so many times we fill our life with kids' activities, or we fill our life with kids' soccer, or we fill it with work or TV or entertainment or leisure or busyness, and the friendships outside of our family or outside of our kids or outside of our spouse, our relationships take a back burner. Have you ever seen someone from the past and thought, man, I wish I would have stayed in contact with that person? Relationships take a back burner. And yet all through Scripture, all through the Bible, we see the high value, the high price, the high importance on the aspect of relationships in our life. Number two, if you're taking notes today, companions are a dime a dozen, but real relationships, real friendships are rare. So you've got 739 friends on Facebook. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I just added two more. So you've got 741 friends on Facebook. Big deal. Whoopity-doo. I mean, those are just add-ons. Those are just placeholders. Those aren't normally friends in our lives. And besides that, Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin. I mean, so what? You've got a bunch of relationships. It doesn't give us a safeguard in life. And in fact, Proverbs says that might just be the thing that brings us down. Another version of this verse says this, a man with unreliable friends may come to ruin. So it's not about the number of friends. It is about the type or the quality of relationships in our life. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Real friends are very rare. So when we find those relationships, when we discover those relationships, we need to forge them and cultivate them and nurture them and develop them, that we want to make those healthy. And this is written, Proverbs is written in a very family-oriented culture. It's written in a very gregarious culture where they're overlapping, a relationship-oriented culture where family was the epicenter of relationships, really how it should be. But he's saying that even a friend can be close in your life. It's referring to God, but there's friends that can be close. Because sometimes we love our family. Listen to me when I say this. We love our family, but we don't always like them. You know what I'm saying? You've got that one that's just so hard to love. You love them, and you'll give them a roof, and you let them stay on the couch or in the extra room, but man, sometimes you don't like them. But there are friends that choose to be in relationship with you, and there's time that there's a beauty to that that can be incredibly strong in our lives. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Friends, real friends, are rare. But also, listen to this, real friends, friendships are not made. It's almost like they're discovered. Have you ever seen, and maybe this was just, well, have you ever seen like the nerdy guy walks up to the pretty girl and he's like, God told me we're supposed to get married. And she's like, you might want to get a second opinion. Maybe it wasn't you guys. Maybe it's just at Bible college. Maybe it was like they used the God card at Bible college. I promise you had to have seen that in church at some point. Oh, if God told me we're supposed to date. And they're like, no, you're talking to the wrong God. Because that would be hell on earth. Or you have someone, they just walk, hey, we're going to be such good friends. We're going to hang out all summer together. And you're like, I don't think so. Have you ever had that? You've got that one friend that they want to be so close. And you really like being acquaintances, not really friends with them, right? But they want to be friends. That friendships are more, it's almost as if friends are not made, they're discovered. Here's what Proverbs 27:9 says. The pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. That first word there, pleasantness, that we talked about that's underlined, the pleasantness, it says this. It basically is talking about a sweetness that is there. You see, because it's the same root word that you get sugar from and that you get honey from. It's that you use in making a meal. So it's written in a time where they couldn't just go to the store and grab a pound of sugar, scoop it out, and to pour it into what they were making. Culturally, you couldn't do that. It's not what they had. So it was something that you discovered, the sweetness that you got off something off the vine, or you cultivated it from a bee's nest. They had to cultivate this. So it's something that is almost a discovery or a cultivation rather than just being added to. So let me give you an example that friendships often spring from the phrase, me too. You like doing that? Me too. You struggle with that? Me too. You like the Dallas Cowboys? Me too. You like the New York Giants? I'm not sure we can be friends. We've got several Giants fans in the church. Lord, save them right now, God. Me too. It is a discovery of common unity in our lives, of community in our lives. But it's more when we're walking side by side into something that we're connected to that we build community. Because you see, lovers are face to face, but friends are side by side moving forward for a common good together. And then number four, this is on the information on relationships, is this. That you won't make it in life if you aren't good at choosing and forging and keeping the right friendships. The Bible is clear about the quality of friends chosen in our life. And the Bible is clear about doing life alone. And here's the verse I want to read to you today. Proverbs 13:20 says this. Walk with the wise and become wise. Hey, that's a great statement. We could just stop right there. Walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So let me tell you something that I do with my daughters, is that I have the chance to travel and speak. I have the chance to travel around the nation and help plant churches around the country. I spent a few days in San Diego this week with my team. And so what I try to do, and then last night, there's 350 college students and their leaders and a couple of national guys that were at a conference that I took my daughter to, and I'm introducing my daughters to these people who are sharp and who are further down the road and who love Jesus and who are leaders and who are wise. And for all of their life, I've been trying to expose them to people that I know that are really bright, because I want my daughters to walk with wise people, and it will help them to have a model of what to pursue, and they become wise. Does that make sense? And so it says that walk with the wise and become wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. So really, what a great verse. And then I love Proverbs 11:14. Guys, we're looking at all through Proverbs today what it talks about in relationships. It says this, where there is no counsel, where there's no good friends, where there's no wise friends, where you're all alone, when you're by yourself, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So here's what I'm saying to you today. That you can choose and you can forge and you can keep the right relationships in your life. And I promise you, life will go better. Life will progress better. Or we can keep and forge and choose the wrong relationships, and it will be a challenge to you for all of your life. So it'll be a burden to you that you're carrying these relationships instead of the relationships that are a lift and a wing to your life. So we can choose ones that cause us to struggle, or we can choose ones that cause us to lift, depending on if we're walking with the wise or with the foolish. And so for us, listen to this. If you don't capture anything else today, this is something I want you to capture. It is critical for you and for me to build right relationships, because it will help give you the support system you need that you were intended to have, and it will help you to become all that you were called to become, while other relationships will hinder you. Let me give you an example. My oldest daughter went to college a year ago. She just started her sophomore year of college. My middle one just started this fall. So my oldest one, last year when she went off to college, she calls me about a week in and she says, Dad, you're not gonna believe it, What, baby? I saw the most beautiful man I have ever seen in my life. It's like, oh, really? Oh, crap, Lord, help her right now, Jesus. Close her eyes. And she goes, Dad, this man is gorgeous. He's tall. He dresses good. He has muscles. Oh, Dad, this is the man I'm going to marry. And I was like, no, you're 18 years old. Dude, I'm asking all kinds of questions. I'm Facebook stalking him. And like I saw him on Facebook. He has a muscle shirt on in the gym. I was like, that's not a boy. That is a man. You got to date guys I can beat up. Come on. She liked him. And then she calls, goes, Dad, I got his number. It's like, Madison, you don't go ask boys for their numbers? She goes, no, he walked up to me and got my number. And so I just had to get his too, you know what I'm saying? This is totally out of character for my daughter, so that's why I'm freaking out, because she wasn't really like that. So we started talking, and I said, look, Madison, you're brand new at college, and you're going to date this guy, and when you break up, because you're going to break up, because the first guy you date isn't the guy you marry, when you break up, you're not going to have developed the friends in your dorm, the girlfriends in your church, the girlfriends in your classes, and you're not going to have a support group to carry you on beyond the breakup, because you're going to break up. So don't date him until you have all these other relationships at church, in your dorm, in your classroom. Don't date him until you've got everything else in place. And then if you still like each other, it's okay. Silence on the other end. And here's what I said. This is the point where I know you're not listening to me. And she goes, no, Dad. Actually, I'm processing what you said, because I haven't thought of the support net yet. And she calls me back about a week later and said, hey, I walked up to him. He walked up to me and started talking. And I said, hey, I'm not going to date you till next semester, till I develop some friends. And if we still want to date then, we can. And to this point, they still haven't dated. Yes. So we can develop a net that if we don't develop the right relationships, it will limit us from becoming what God has called us to be. And listen to this, that also our job is to help others become all that God intended them to be. Amen. That something I feel called to be in life is a door opener and helping others accomplish God's will for their life as well. But what does it take to forge relationships? We've just talked about the information on a relationship, but what does it take to forge these relationships today? Let me give you four components of forging friendships today. Number one is this, is constancy. Constancy. Proverbs 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. All times. Now, really, when we're talking about all times, that's not talking about being there 24/7, you're on call all day, every day. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. What it's talking about when it says there at all times, it's talking about the seasons of your life. That there are friends that you're there in every season that they're going through. It's saying in the good times, your friends are there. It's saying that when you're up, your friends are there. It says that when things are bad, yep, they're still there. That when you've been through a tough time, that friend still loves you. And it says that when you're getting, it's saying when you got a promotion or you got an award, your friend is there. Good job. Good job. Then I have several really what I would call brother friends. I've got been blessed in life. And when my dad died last year, that they called, and then it came the morning of the funeral, and those friends were there sitting together right behind the family. They didn't tell me they were coming. They didn't ask for a hotel room. They showed up to be there on one of my toughest days. I had other friend one time that I got a promotion or I got some recognition on an item. And he says, man, I'm really happy for you. I just wish it was me. But a friend in all seasons is one that when their chips are down, they still are there. When you're celebrating, they're celebrating for you. That's what we're talking about, that a friend is a friend loves at all times. And so it's just not possible 24/7, but for the seasons of life, completely possible. Number two is this, is not only do we have to be constant, but there's a carefulness that is a component of healthy relationships. See, you can't be constant without being careful. You have to be careful because you can be there at all times, but you have to be careful how you handle that person in each season. Listen to Proverbs 25:17. This is awesome. It says, "Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and he hate you." So it just went from a friend loves at all times, and now it says, be careful, or your friend, you're going to drive them crazy. So this past week, I had the chance to travel to San Diego. In fact, here is my morning view every day right here. Did you able to get that in there? Every morning, I was able to walk along the harbor. It had the sunrise coming over through downtown San Diego. That was my morning walk, my morning run. It was so awesome. And I'm able to meet with these guys, and we work towards planting churches all over the country. So last year, through the group I work with, we planted 406 churches across the country. Isn't that amazing? And you guys help support that and helps me go and allow me to go as your pastor to be gone for several days. But I'm spending Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday with all these guys, and we're talking, and together we're praying, we're strategizing, we're dreaming, we're reporting on our areas that we serve in. And so we work all day, 8 to like 5. We eat together, hang out, maybe go catch a movie afterwards. And so by Wednesday night, I was like, man, I cannot wait to get away from these guys. I love these guys. They're awesome. But Wednesday night, dinner was a little early. And after dinner, they're like, hey, you guys want to go hang out? And I was like, no, I'm going to my room where it's quiet. Can you get away from me now? I love these guys, but man, I would love to be away from you right now. And so for the deal is for us is that we have to be careful with constancy. We have to be careful in this. And really, there's times that you're saying, hey, I don't know what to say. There's someone maybe that's hurting and you don't know what to say, that you can be there, but you have to be careful with how you handle it. That's a problem for, like, sometimes for me, like, I'm thinking, when there's been a tragedy, when do I follow up with someone and when do I just let them grieve? Does me coming around and talking to them about, does it cause it to restir the emotions? Do I call? Do I not call? Do I follow up? Do I not follow up? Do I go over? What do I do? And so we ask the question, how am I careful? Well, here's what I want to encourage you with. That's how the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us and tells us what to say and when to say, how to pray for people. The Holy Spirit helps us to be careful in the seasons of people's life as we're being constant and we're there. The Holy Spirit leads us on how to be careful and what to do in each season of a person's life. Proverbs 27:14 says this, "If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse." Amen. Amen. Guys, I grew up in a home with a very nurturing mom. I grew up in a home where my mom felt called to be a housewife. She stayed at home, not because she had to, because she wanted to. So she would come in my room in the morning and she would go, "Hey, Michael, honey, it's time to wake up and go to school. It's time to get up, get dressed, and go to school." And she'd walk out of the room and I would stay in bed sleeping. She would come back in and go, "Honey, what do you want for breakfast? What do you want? Pancakes, waffles, eggs, what do you want? I'll fix it, but it's time to get up." She'd come back 5 minutes later, "Michael, breakfast is ready. It's time to get up." And I would stagger into the kitchen. I would eat my breakfast, get ready, and go. But my mom was really soft and touching my shoulder. And so Tamara is not that girl. So Tamara's dad woke her up her whole life at 5 a.m. He would turn on the light, "Get up, go practice the piano." So mine's, "Michael, honey, it's time to get up." Tamara's is, "Get up, go practice the piano." So like we got married on a Friday night. We had a honeymoon Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, I've got to go back to college, right? And so I'm in bed and I'm sleeping and all of a sudden the light flips on. "Michael, get up, time to go to school." We are not in Kansas anymore. Man, I still have not recovered 25 years later. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. You see the tension there. Blessing them, but at the wrong season. So we are constant, but we have to be careful in the process, sensitive to the nuance of that person's life, that we know need to know when to be loud and when to be quiet and when and how. The constancy helps us know how to care for our friends. Proverbs 25 says this, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured onto a wound, is the one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Carefulness in our friendships, that to provide them a good thing, singing songs at a bad time is not a good thing. We have to do good things at good times, not when they're down. But I'm so sick of them, I'm going to tell them. Is it the right time to tell them? There are times, but is this the right time? We have to be careful. So we're careful to provide them good things at a good time. And then number three, if you're taking notes, is in our relationships, we have to have the key component of candor. We have to have the key component of candor. Constancy, carefulness, balancing that with candor. Proverbs 27:5. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See the imagery here? Friendly wounds and wounding kisses. That wounds from a friend can be trusted. It's not saying here that some people have said, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's saying that a friend's going to hurt you. They're going to let you down. They're going to disappoint. It's not saying that. It's saying that here that you can have wounds from a friend that are trusting. It's saying that they are going to say good things to you. And if they say, if they can say the hard things to you, and they can do it in love. Let me give you an example. It's like a doctor walking into his office, a friend who wounds you, a friend who's telling you something that's good, but it's wounding. It's like this. You walk into a doctor's office, and the doctor says, hey, the bad news is we found something. We found something. The good news is we can take care of it with surgery. You can keep living like this, and we won't wound you. We won't do surgery, but it's going to get worse. Or we can do surgery. We can wound you, but ultimately you're going to get better. You may not run a marathon next week, but you're going to get better if we wound you. It's going to get better over time. So that's the way it is with us and a friend. A friend's coming to you and saying, hey, I don't want this growing in your life. I don't want this developing in your life, so I want to address it now. It's better for a friend to say that to you than to say it to someone else. It's like, I would rather Ronnie come to me and say, hey, Michael, that I see this in your life. Man, what do you think? Than her going to her friend and say, man, you see what's going on with Michael? See what's going on with that guy? Man, that guy is such a joker. If he would just deal with his life, it would be better. And then I end up having a blowout, and she comes and said, I knew that was going to happen. Then why didn't you tell me? It's better the wounds of a friend than the kisses of our enemy. A friend is willing to say what needs to be said. Let me just tell you this. I'm giving you permission as my friends that if I ever have a little booger in my nose, you need to tell me. I'm not joking. I tell the staff, if I've got something, tell me so I can get rid of it, because I don't want to go to the next meeting with some of the tenants who are renters in our facility, and for me to be in a professional setting and to have that, better the wounds of a friend. Does that make sense? That's a little silly illustration, but does that make sense today? A friend is willing to say what needs to be said, knowing when to speak, knowing when to be silent, knowing how to balance candor with carefulness. Because the open rebuke from a true friend is better than saying nothing at all. We're balancing constancy with carefulness, with candor. We're balancing these things to move forward in life. And how do we know what to do? Again, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit, when he fills our life, he leads us, he guides us. Be filled with the Spirit. It will help you in being a friend and having wisdom on how to be careful and how to be constant and how to have candor in moments where you have to have candor. Just Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you through the process. That friendship is not just this practical thing, it is a spiritual thing of God allowing you to be loved and to love and to be led and lead and to be cared for and to care for. It is a spiritual thing that God has designed to be healthy in our lives so that we can accomplish God's will. And last is this, if you're taking notes, key component of relationships is counsel. Proverbs 27, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from heartfelt counsel. Again, that pleasantness, the root word of sugar or honey right there, it's the sweet thing. And then here's a completely other side of relationships. Listen to this. In Proverbs 27, 17, the better known verse of relationships, it says this: as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. What incredible imagery here. What powerful imagery of the two sides of friendships, of sweetness and sparks, that iron is not sweet to hear. Have you ever seen them sharpening a sword? It grates. It's not easy to listen to. It doesn't have the sweet taste of honey. But a sharp sword is so much more useful than a dull one. A sharp axe is so much more useful than a dull one. You need both the pleasant and the sparks, both sides of this. Let me say this. If you're taking notes, write this down. A friend will always let you in and will never let you down. So you've had constancy mixed with carefulness, added in some candor, and that's when you get, they're gonna let you in and never let you down. And man, I could end it right here and say, hey, be that friend, find that friend. Find that friend who lets you in and never lets you down. That would be the perfect Hallmark movie ending. That would be the perfect Christmas Hallmark movie where it has this perfect ending. Go and be the friend that lets everyone in and never lets them down, and find those friends that let you in and don't let you down. But I want to tell you this, there's a problem with that message. There's a problem with that message, but there's a power to fix it. And here's the problem. The problem is me. The problem is I tend to let people down and I don't let them in. How many of you in here are really private in your friendships? I tend to let people down and I don't let them in. And so there's a problem with that storybook ending. And I want my friends to be something that I myself have trouble being. I have trouble being that I cannot be that myself. And I'm sure many of you are like me, and it doesn't make you bad, it makes you human, because it's hard to be the kind of friend that you need a friend to be to you. And so many times we just give up. We just say, you know what, I'm just gonna not forge those relationships because I can't do it. But here's that's the problem. But here's the power in this. Here's the power to fix it, is that Jesus is our ultimate friend. Now, let's reset for just a moment and capture this closing point, this closing section. Let's capture this. Is that you cannot cultivate the right kind of relationships until you have Jesus as your ultimate friend first. Because in understanding who he is and who we are in him, it gives us the ability to be far more committed to relationships because we're committed in this relationship. Before we go to our buddy, before we go to our wife, before we go to the counselor, before we go to the neighbor, before we go to the family dog, that we have to go to Jesus first. The Hebrew metaphor for friendship is this, is walking, that we're walking together. And from the very beginning, we see that friendship in God, that even with Adam and Eve, they're walking in the garden together. That the metaphor for friendship in Hebrew is this walking together, that Jesus left heaven to walk with us, and Adam and Eve were walking with Jesus, and then they blew it, and all they had to do is say, God, I'm sorry, I blew it, and I'm sorry. But instead they hid, they played the blame game, they tried to cover it up, and they were still doing that today. But John 15 says this, listen, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, today, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. In other words, he's saying, hey, I've been constant with you. I've been careful with you. I have had candor with you, that I am there with, I am there with you in the seasons of your life. And he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother, even though it cost him deeply. Jesus is a steady friend, a constant friend, a faithful friend. And instead of the friend that inflicts wounds on you, he is a friend that takes those wounds for you. Instead of causing pain, he has taken our pain on the cross, and he's saying, I'm the ultimate friend that has taken it for you so that you can walk in confidence in me and you can be connected to me and to one another. And so capture this, whether you're a new Christian or whether you're an established Christian or whether you're still seeking for God's will in your life, let me say this. Make Jesus the friend your heart desires most, and you will have the friend that your heart needs the most. And when you engage Jesus as your ultimate friend, and then you begin to engage others here at Grace Hill, whether through connection groups, our ministry groups, our fellowship, our outreach activities, when you begin to engage those friends here, you're going to find someone who's more than a golf buddy. You're going to find someone who's more than a running buddy. Even though those things are good and you're going to do those things together, you're going to find that friend who you can say, you too? Me too. And Jesus brings us those friends who we can say that, and we go on the journey through life together with them, willingly loving them and being there for them and constant and celebrating them, because our strength is not found in us succeeding more than them, but our strength is found in Jesus, and it's in this connection who God has placed us with. And they can help you on your journey with God, and you can help them on their journey with God, because you're constant, you're candid, you're careful, and there's some candor, or there's some counsel going on. And to miss out on this would just be stupid. Let's pray together. Father, today I pray that you would be everything that we need, God. But Lord, you also place people in our lives, Lord, that we are to help and to be that friend for, and that they're to help us. And Lord, there is a friend, you, who sticks closer than a brother, and then you place us in relationship. And I pray that, Lord, today that we would find that. Other believers who give us wise counsel. Other believers who help us and lift us instead of our burden. That, Lord, we could find those relationships that bless us and strengthen us and encourage us. And then we could be that for someone else as well, God. Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good today? Isn't God good?
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.